Hi, Kelly. Are you left over from the other night? A video participants polls chat screen. What you thought went well, what you thought didn't go well. From this point forward, I am recording this. So if it goes well enough, we might post it on the website for those that didn't get a chance to participate in real time. So with that, Mike, I'm going to unmute you and put you in the spotlight.
All right. Well, I think we're ready to go ahead and get started. I want to take and thank everyone for taking time to participate. Normally, this would be just our normal routine is getting together on Wednesday and in midweek, but obviously there's been a lot of time that we've been away from our Wednesday night study with the COVID, and you know, I commend the ladies for getting some Zoom sessions together and prompting us with the idea to kind of continue that, and hey, why can't we do it on Wednesday? So here we are. We do have a couple visitors. So the Whitakers, friends of Kelly and mine, are on online, and certainly do appreciate you joining with us, and encourage folks to you know, to send invites. It's a good thing we can get together and look at some of this stuff, and it's kind of a different platform, and it sure is convenient, you know, to be able to stay at our homes and to fire up the technology. So with that, we're going to talk over the next several weeks. I don't know if it's going to, you know, last the entire time. We may pick up a few other topics of discussion, but we're going to be looking at the problem of suffering. And it's going to be, why does God allow it? Who or what causes it? And then how can we prepare for it? And all the information that I'm using, not all of the formal information, I'll say, is from Executable Outlines. It's online. So there's just a lot of good study material that is out there. And the author of that is Mark Copeland. So I want to make sure he gets all the credit for the information that we're using. Certainly no copyright infringement with that. So today, I just wanted to go over and you know what, we're going to build the foundation for this discussion on suffering. So we may not get to our lesson at all. I think we need to do a little bit of prep work with that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about why I chose the topic and suffering in general. What does it look like? We'll ask for your participation as we do that. Suffering close to home. So I've got a couple of examples. One's in my family, and one is off the web that I just thought was a really neat article that I wanted to share. And then we'll get into lesson one eventually. So if everybody's in agreement with that, and since you're muted, I know that you are, we'll go ahead and roll right into our discussion. So why this topic? Just, you know, it feels like as a nation right now, we are suffering. We've kind of been kicked, you know, pretty hard in the gut. We know we've got this corona disease that we're fighting, and it's ground us to a complete halt. And then the one underlying theme, I guess you will, that has been ignored for a very long time is this idea of diversity and inclusion and human equity as well. And certainly there was a lot of disturbing things that took place that we had witnessed as a nation. And it just feels like this is something that is as good a topic as any to talk about right now. The pandemic can be stressful. The coronavirus, I got some stuff here from the CDC. Fear, anxiety on the new disease, and what can be an overwhelming cause of strong emotional distress in adults and children alike. So public health, such as social distancing, can make people feel isolated and lonely and increase a lot of stress and anxiety. Coping with stress in a healthy way can make you and the people you care about and your community a stronger thing. So it's in all of our benefit, if you will, to help each other cope with this and get through it. Certainly, everyone reacts differently to stressful situations. We want to look for opportunities to make our community a little bit stronger. We was hearing something just last night that was saying, you know, the suicide rate is up. So mental health at your workplace, if you happen to still be working, and if you're not, it's something that we need to be concerned about at our homes as well, is this idea that, you know, this isolation can drive suicide rates. So multiple lines of evidence indicate that coronavirus disease, the pandemic, has a profound psychological and social effects. A psychologist says that this pandemic will probably persist for months and even years to come. So think about that. I know Kelly was mentioning some information that she looked at, said, hey, you know, what are our kids really thinking? Well, what's someone as little as Eli thinking when, you know, all around him is folks in masks for this extended period of time? You know, that used to be something we'd have in a bad dream overnight, and now we're kind of walking around like that. So, you know, what is that going to look like for the next month and years to come? And then studies indicate that the pandemic associated with distress, anxiety, fear, depression, insomnia, general population among healthcare professions, social isolation, anxiety, fear, chronic stress, the economic difficulties. To reduce suicide during COVID-19 crisis, it's imperative to decrease stress, anxiety, fears, loneliness in the general population. So somehow, you know, working together, we got to try to get a handle on this. And where else better to look than in God's Word, as we're going to pick up some points in that. You know, why we're there, why we're talking about His Word. I want to give you just a few things. I don't want to fill you, you know, completely fill you up to where you can't remember things. But when it comes to suffering, just remember a few things. You know, we all, whenever there is milk spilled in the kitchen, and we're trying to figure out, hey, how did that get there? How did this happen? When we go to tell our story, you know, the best thing that we can ever give each other is the benefit of the doubt. And having said that, you know, God's got a lot of authority in our life, and we've got to remember that. So things are going just total, you know, just crappy all the way around us. And, you know, we're feeling pretty beat up and pretty bruised. You know, the one thing that remains constant is God has our best interest in mind. I know that can be difficult. We're told in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that is me, that you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that's the words of Jesus. That idea of you will have tribulation. So I work for a utility company. Utilities are told what you will do, and utilities are told what you should do. The ones that say you will do this and you must do this, there's no getting around it. It is going to be. And if you don't do it, then there's a lot of trouble you can get into on audits. Jesus doesn't say there may be trouble. He doesn't say there may be tribulation. He says you will have tribulation. That idea of tribulation can be defined as great trouble or great suffering. So that makes this topic that we're talking about right now. So we will have it. But if you go back to Genesis, the 50th chapter, and you think of Joseph and all the problems that he got into and all the problems that his brothers caused for him, when he came out of that, when he came out on the other end of that, he told his brothers were really shaking in their boots, because they thought, you know, Joseph had the power at that time just to annihilate them off of the face of the earth. And Joseph said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And when we're suffering and when we're in a lot of pain and hurting, we've got to remember that. God means it for good for us. Now, it's hard to connect those dots sometimes. I don't doubt that at all. But through this whole next 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, while we're talking about this subject, let's prepare for it. There will be tribulation. We've got to kind of anchor ourselves and that's what we do when we stay in God's word, when we surround ourselves with friends and family this crazy family of mine, this Central Avenue family, that's our support group. That's who we lean on and get each other through. That's part of the way we prepare for that. And then know this, God meant it for good. God will always mean it for good. At the same time, we got this pandemic going on. We've got our relations with each other. I heard yesterday in a meeting that the incident that took place with George Floyd to many in our nation was comparable to the events of 9/11. And you think about the events of 9/11 and how we all came together and we were all rallying around a great evil that had taken place. And if we don't feel that, if we don't feel that after the events of George Floyd to that degree, we need to continue to grow. We need to continue to have conversations. We need to continue to, work to be better in that respect and how we respect each other and kind of feel that passion that your cause is my cause. And if we're not all right, then it's not all right. So with that, I think we're almost to the point of using our chat window to define suffering a little bit. But with that, I'll ask Jeff, do we have any hand raises or anybody have any comments on that Jeff. Opening information? Jeffrey.
So we we had a comment from Dee, if you didn't see it in the chat, that everyone is and has been experiencing trauma because of COVID-19. So she made that comment in the chat. Anyone else want to raise their hand or make a comment? I don't see any hand raises. Okay.
And we'll get better at this flow of information back and forth. So you might not have had your mouse, you might not have had your hand ready on the chat window just now when Jeff asked, hey, did you want to say something? But for the next time, maybe you would. So if you see that chat that Dee was just using or the ability to put something in, what I'm going to ask you right now is if you would do, and Jeff, I think you even got do you have a pull screen for us that will ask that? No, we don't. We've got to use the chat window. Just give us one word that you associate with suffering. If you write that down, then we'll have Jeff rattle those off for us after you do that. One word, and you can answer more than one time. Just keep it to one word answers. One word.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find the chat window here.
We were taking a poll. We would have a couple of high hitters.
There is this really cool app that if you say the same word, it blows up the word bigger and bigger and bigger. So you see who responded the most time of that word. And, we don't have it. We'll just have to tell you about it tonight. Jeff, would you mind reading through some of those for us?
So looks like we got stress once, pain 1, 2, 3. I saw it again, four times. Hurting, loneliness, agony, suffering, death, loss, sorrow, and struggle. Emptiness, and then loneliness and isolation.
Wow. I'm really blown away by those answers. And as a matter of fact, I'm a little bit...
And grief.
You know, I'm a little bit moved. I'm a little bit moved by those answers. I've got some others written down here. Grief, misery, woe, anguish, distress, agony, and torment, to name a few others. Now, mine's easy, right? Because I go on the computer and I type in the word, and then I hit, give me some synonyms to it. You did some very good work coming off the top of your head, and appreciate that. What is not suffering? So let's do the same exercise. What is the opposite of suffering? What are some things that we're thinking about there? Opposite of suffering. And Jeff, when you think we've hit a good point, you can go through that list for us. Now, you're not allowed to add the same answer after we start going through these. Oh, okay, you can.
So we've got love, compassion, joy is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Peace, resolution, blessings, peace again, control. I bet that's my daughter. Happiness, Courtney says compassion, fruits of the spirit. So that's the set.
Okay, a few more. Contentment, pleasure, gladness, cheerfulness, bliss, delight as well. You know what I think I just caught on to why I'm so moved by those? Because 90% of those, isn't that what we just talked about? We need to help each other get through there. 90% of those things we're talking about, we can bring to other people, right? Loneliness, how you overcome loneliness, go make it a visit to someone. I think of Miss Jessie and Carrie and all a lot of visits that they were doing. I know there's other people at church that were doing those visits as well. So boom, you do a little bit of that and you strike loneliness from suffering. And we could go on down the list too. You know, how do you bring joy to somebody? That could be as easy as a card. It could be as easy as a phone call. It could be as easy as a kind word as well. So, okay. So we're getting the idea of kind of, what we're talking about here now. Again, I want to look at one more thing here. I've given you a lot of stuff off the web, which I think is helpful, you know, helping us lay the foundation for what we're talking about. And I want to go through a few other of these things as well. Suffering is often categorized as physical or mental. You know, categorize them. Okay, there's your big categories, physical or mental. It may come in all degrees of intensity, from mild to intolerable. I think this is a biggie. Attitudes towards suffering may vary widely in the sufferer or other people according to how much it is regarded as avoidable or unavoidable, useful or useless, deserved or undeserved. So that's got some degree of an air of judgment about it, does it not? I mean, if you're thinking, you know, how much sympathy I have in my suffering for you depends on how much I think, well, you brought it on yourself.
No, hey, Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I had raised my hand, but there's a lot of people on here. I was just going to say that, you know, we all have to remember that on top of all of the suffering that COVID has brought to us each, that each one of us also has personal struggles that we would be going through without this. We all have personal loss, of whether it be jobs or life or, you know, friends or family or whatever it is. We all have our own struggles that would be coming in the day to day, whether this COVID was here or not. So it just adds on top of what we already are going through.
Absolutely. No, good point. So a person that gets a first DUI, you know, those things happen. Those things are very unfortunate. Those things are a terrible lack of good judgment. The degree of willingness that we have to suffer with that person, the degree of willingness we have to ensure that they are back on their feet and well, probably is much greater than the person that has gotten their fourth DUI in 5 years, you know, seventh DUI. But, you know, we think of, you know, Christ and his example of forgiveness and how often, you know, am I to forgive someone? I think it, you know, it's a parent's love, possibly. It's an nth degree of love that, you know, even in your just total wallowing of mistakes, you know, I still suffer with you, and I still empathize with you, and I still but I think that is so true. You know, when it says attitudes towards suffering vary widely according to how much it's regarded as avoidable or unavoidable, useless or useful, deserved or undeserved. And with that, I want to open it up back up for comments, see if anybody has anything they'd like to share with that point, as we roll on. You may agree, disagree, and certainly interested in hearing your thoughts. Jeff, are you looking for a raised hand, or you want to unmute everybody?
I can unmute everybody. I think. Remember where that tool is.
Will you repeat what you asked again, Mike?
The question was, our attitude, the statement was, our attitude towards suffering may vary widely, and that the sufferer or other people, according to how much that it is regarded as avoidable or unavoidable. So did you, you know, you're suffering, yeah, and you're hurting, but is it just a, you know, just a total bonehead mistake that you knew better? And I just wanted to see if anybody had any comments on that point.
Yeah, I'd say I feel kind of like that, you know, that your way of suffering, whether it was something that was quote unquote avoidable or your fault or whatever, I feel like it doesn't take away from the fact that you're still suffering. So, I mean, people make bad choices, and they have to deal with the consequences from those bad choices. But, you know, in all actuality, those choices were, you know, from the same root, which is sin. And that, you know, regardless of how other people see as, oh, well, you just shouldn't have done that. Well, you know, I mean, that's great and everything, but, you know, we have to give people compassion and kind of give them grace with that too. So.
No, that's a good point there. And I tell you, it brought up another point. I'm going to tie Amanda's point, Melanie's point. That I got a lot of other stuff, and we as a society have a lot of other stuff going. You can't disregard, we each are able to adapt and deal with suffering in different ways. What brings you to your knees? I lost my mother at 17 years old. I'm sorry, but funerals, for whatever reason, I you know, death doesn't have no victory. And we know that. We know that as Christians. But man, for whatever reason, a funeral doesn't really bring me to my knees. Other people, you know, it's different. And you never know. You know, people are dealing with a lot, and then something real small could trigger into just a total meltdown. And it's really not that small thing. It's all that other stuff. So we it's just this idea of, you know, respectful, and we've always got to be, you know, we you always got to be really respectful of folks and kind of what they're doing and what they're dealing with. And it's a good point that, you know, it doesn't really matter how you got there. It's still the fact that you're there and you need help. And so with that, I'm going to go into a few more points. Then we're going to open it back up. So get ready to put your hand on the chat or raise your hand if you need to. And while I cover a few more points, and then we'll keep on rolling along here. The word suffering is sometimes used in a narrow sense of physical pain, but more often it refers to psychological pain, or more often yet, it refers to the pain in the broad sense, i.e. To any unpleasant feeling or emotional sensation. Qualifiers such as physical, mental, emotional, psychological are often used to refer to certain types of pain and suffering. Physical pain in the sense that normally includes not only a typical sensory experience, so you got the physical pain, right? But you can have all kinds of unpleasant bodily experiences. So you've got hunger. You know, can hunger be suffering? It absolutely can. How about nausea? How about this big vestibular suffering? That's, disoriented, kind of like that, you know, feeling motion type of suffering. Sleep deprivation, itching, you know, there's all kinds of not just that physical pain, like, you know, I've just gouged my arm pretty good, but there's all that stuff inside. Pain or suffering, as a matter of fact, happens through a conscious mind and involves emotional aspects, while mental pain or suffering happens through a physical brain and being an emotion, involves an important psychological effect with it. Some wide views on the spectrum of suffering from our society. Utilitarianism, you may have heard that word. It's a popular doctrine of ethics or politics and economics. It argues that the right act for policy was that which would bring the greatest happiness to the greatest number. So if you think about those things we listed on happiness, that utilitarianism view says, hey, you know, let's drive some policy, not that's, you know, necessarily applicable across the board, but what is going to bring the greatest group of the population the greatest amount of happiness. That's all great, unless you're part of the population that's outside of that, then you're never going to have that met for you. Popular religious view on suffering. Suffering plays an important role in a number of religions regarding matters such as the following. Consolation or relief, moral conduct, do not harm, help the afflicted, show compassion, spiritual advancements through life, hardships, or through self-imposed trials. Scott went over that Sunday with us with the Shakers. They were kind of, you know, deny themselves everything. So this, to the point where they denied themselves right out of existence when they remained celibate. Art and literature, in our society, art and literature works often engage with suffering, sometimes to great cost of their creators and or the performers. Romeo and Juliet ended in the greatest for those two characters. This is kind of neat, and then we'll finish up this part of our lesson. Thanks to neuroimaging studies that cingulate cortex fires up when the brain feels suffering from experimentally induced social distress or physical pain as well. The theory proposes, therefore, that physical pain and social pain, two different ends of the spectrum, share a common phenomenon on a neurological basis. So your brain, even though those are two different types of suffering, two different types of ends of the spectrum, the social pains, the physical pains, the area of your brain which kind of fires and performs the same way under both of those. So I just thought it was interesting. So with that, we're getting ready to move on to a couple of personal stories. But do we have any hands raised, Jeff, or anybody like to make a comment?
I don't see any. I'll go ahead and unmute everybody. Except you.
Okay, so we have kind of recap where we are, and then I'll turn it over to you for comments. We've kind of looking at why we chose the topic of suffering.
Mike.
Well, there we are. Sorry about that. What I was doing was just kind of recapping this for everybody on where we were.
Do not mute everybody. Okay.
why we chose the topic, that's been covered. Suffering in general, what does it look like? We've all helped to define what that is. And we've looked at some social ideas of suffering and kind of what does Wikipedia say about suffering. We've kind of looked at that. So before we move on, just want to see if anybody's got anything for the good of the group. Anybody? Okay, I'm thinking that's a no because I see Jeff's head scanning and not finding any. All right, we got about 22 minutes just to do a time check with it. And then we are going to... Yes?
Wait. Our reaction can be a lot with how we suffer, whether it's a social problem or sin in our life or just our circumstances, but our own reaction to it kind of helps us see whether we're going to have a lot of suffering or if God will help us to not suffer as much. So it's not always our circumstances or exactly what happened to us. It's mostly how we react to what's happening to us.
Good point, Missy. Anybody else? All right, appreciate that comment. I tell you, I'm going to go into a personal story, one personal story, one off the web, and this is with all due respect to Amanda and Dan. I know, our condolences are with you, and this story is very close to what you have been dealing with, whenever we have a mother, whenever we have an infant involved, certainly, our hearts, it moves us. It's easy for us to feel, the pain and suffering that goes with it. So I'd like to share, if I can, a story of my nephew. He was on our prayer list not too long ago. And I want to share with you a Facebook post. You know, Facebook has really changed the way we get information across. And you wouldn't think anything possibly so personal, at least not, 10 years ago, is something that we would share this way. But it's such a powerful medium, which you can get something out. Someone to share. So my nephew and his wife put this out. Family and friends, it's with heavy hearts that we announce the birth and death of our beautiful baby girl, Aurora Ann Wilson, April 7th, 2020, at 5:17 p.m. She was 7 pounds, 12 ounces, 20 inches long. She had a full red of all hair and her pudgy cheeks. She was a sweet, perfect baby who will always live in our hearts. Last Monday, we had an appointment, which went with all others. They checked Aurora's heart and everything was normal. Later that evening, we went back to the hospital after Sarah hadn't noticed Aurora moving for a couple hours. By the time that we got there, she didn't have a heartbeat anymore and there wasn't anything the doctors could do. After she was born, found a tear in her umbilical cord. We'd like to share a personal story that has brought us some comfort over the last few days. In 1986, our grandma Wilson, who raised six, let's say, mischievous kids, died from cancer. Before she died, our grandpa told her that he'd meet her on the other side of the moon. I was with him on that night that he died 14 years later. and the moon had never been so beautiful. I still remember today. On April 7, 2020, our beautiful aurora marked the date of a super full moon. The moon near its closest point to Earth. The moon particularly special for a couple reasons. It was closest full moon of 2020. It's called a super pink moon because of the pink wildflowers that bloom in the spring. We found some comfort, believing that our grandparents are looking out for that baby girl. It brought the moon a little closer for her. So that, you know, was a struggle that we went through. And I know many, many at our church and our church family certainly have been dealing with that renewed pain as well. There was a story also off of the web, and it's awful small print for this dark room, but I'm gonna do my best to read it here. In 2010, this is from a mother. I don't know that I have her name on here, and it's a little bit long, but that's okay because we got time. 2010 was a year of many tears for me, a tear of joys, a tear of great sorrow. It began in June when my husband and I found out we were pregnant. We had two beautiful boys that we adopted as babies, but this was my first pregnancy. To say the least, we were ecstatic to be would be an understatement. Then our world came crashing down. In September, went for my 18-week ultrasound, and devastated when I was told that my water had leaked at some point. No fluid was left around the baby and delivery was imminent. My first thought was just total disbelief and pure agony. What was God doing? For the next 7 weeks, I defied the odds and didn't deliver. Then on October 27th, at exactly 25 weeks, I was admitted to the hospital for what we hoped would be 9-week stay. But shortly thereafter, the monitor showed I was having contractions and was rushed back for emergency C-section. That afternoon, we welcomed our precious baby, Eliza Grace, into the world, weighing only 1.5 pounds, 13 inches. And she was incredible, but tiny and perfectly formed. God, in his great mercy, had allowed me to sustain my pregnancy to the point that I got to meet my daughter and see how she had fearfully and wonderfully made her. The NICU staff fought hard for her, but after an hour of being worked on, they were told that she was not going to live. They unhooked her tiny body from the tubes and wires and placed the baby on my chest, and that is where she spent the next 3 hours until she quietly passed from my arms into the Heavenly Father's, into that of her Heavenly Father's. Eliza's short life impacted me dramatically. I've been a Christian since I was young. I've never really been challenged in my faith until I was standing at the grave of my baby girl, and at that moment, I had a choice to make, to turn to the one who gave and took away, or to turn away from him. And I chose to cling desperately to my Father. I got into the Word with a new fervency. It was no longer just words on a page, but the truth of and life. As I sought to learn more about God through his Word, one thing that kept popping up over and over is this isn't how it's supposed to be. But I came to conclude that nothing in this world is. Too often as Christians, I get to the habit of thinking that I deserve good and easy path, but that isn't what God has promised me. As I read the Word, I saw numerous times faithful Christians suffered in the ultimate suffering of Christ on the cross. Suffering and pain are a part of this fallen world, but those of us who trust in Christ have a great hope that of God is using our pain to draw us closer to him. And I think that's so true. I mean, Scott had mentioned that to Amanda, you know, a couple weeks ago and promised, you know, when you come out on the other side of this, it is a drawing closer to him, but just so difficult at this time. I've taken great comfort in 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, that you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which persists even through refined fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God is using this tough time in my life to bring me to him and to shape me into who he wants me to be. It hurts, but I trust that it's for my good and his glory. My time in this Word has also been opening my eyes to how I can glorify God through my grief. I can't do it if I'm not trusting God with his plans for my life. He wants me to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. Proverbs 3:5, to trust, even though I don't always understand why he has chosen certain paths for me to walk, to trust in all things. God works for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I bring him glory when I stop relying on myself and fully rely on the one who made me. As we look through his word again and again and again and again, God's glory shines the brightest when it's not, when it's totally and completely on him, on who we rely. I'm sad that my story didn't end with a happy ever after, and that I was hoping for. It's hard to think about all the things that might have been with Eliza if she would have lived. But the good news about my story and Eliza's story is that it isn't done. Instead, it's to be continued. For my time here on earth is just a dot in the time of eternity, and I will have to spend with my daughter and my Lord. It's just a dot right now, but when you think of the eternity of that eternal reunion yet to come. I'm sad that my story, so whatever your stress may be, or we'll say whatever your suffering may be, whether it's something big like grief or just the little day-to-day things that weigh you down, bring it to the Lord. Seek him through his word. He wants you to trust his plan for you, and to quote his son Jesus, to remember that the God you love, and to remember my son's Jesus storybook Bible, to remember that the God loves you with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreakable, always and forever love. So I thought those were two stories that as we get into this lesson on dealing with suffering, we're going to see that played out. Our author, Mark Copeland, is really going to walk us through in this first lesson about a Christian whose wife received in a car wreck, a broken arm, ribs, back, pelvis, legs, over 200 fractures in her skull, required over a month in the ICU was in the ICU for more than a year for a complete recovery. And he's going to walk us through kind of what did that suffering what did that Christian learn from that suffering? So, you know, the story, what is the story that we take through this path and this journey? We each have one. I mean, we each probably have multiple ones to deal with. That takes us to suffering close to home and an article I wanted to share with you. So before we you know what? I think that's just going to be a good place to end for today. We're ending after about 45 minutes, and that's okay. But before we do, got a lot of good people on the line, a lot of folks with something to say. So, Jeff, if you just open us all back up and see if we can't have some things to share before we call.
They're all open.
Anna and Ron is still on mute, though. Maybe they have to accept that.
They have to accept the request to unmute.
Okay. So if you want to say something, don't forget to accept that, like I did earlier. Anybody have anything they'd like to share?
Thanks, Mike. It's been a great lesson for us to start this series of study with.
It's my pleasure.
I'm going to try to get through this thought. Eli, hold on. I can agree completely with the thing that the lady said about I have never felt closer to God. I have never felt my faith stronger than what it is right now. And I know that she's waiting there for us. And if anything, I every day wake up more determined to do everything I can that day to get myself and my kids and my husband there with us.
Here, all right.
Oh, you know, I tell you, when we think of David and that little baby that he lost, David did a lot of mourning and a lot of it down on his knees. And when the baby passed, he got up and his total attitude was, you know, I can't bring that back, but I can go to that baby. And you're a warrior. You in your strength, you make us stronger when you share stuff like that. And I promise that you are in a lot of folks' daily prayer, and that's where we're going to keep you and Dan for a long time. So you've got a lot of folks behind you as well. So appreciate your comments on that, Amanda. I will share a personal story a little bit later of. You know, a health issue that, and I've shared this before that, you know, I knew on that, when going through that difficulty, I knew on the other side that I would never be the same person before, and I never made God feel. I didn't have to. I was determined I was either going to him or I would be completely different. So I'll share that, you know, one of these lessons coming up, but really appreciate that you work there. Anybody else? We've got, we don't have to stay on here to wait by any means, but I don't want to cut anybody off if they got something they'd like to share.
Mike, if I can just say something. First of all, Mike, thank you for the lesson. It's spiritually enriching and I appreciate it. And it's something we all deal with, suffering. And I want to remind everybody, you know, the book of Genesis is just full of all the basic blocks to life that we need to see. Our faith and knowing there's a God is right there. Marriage, your relationships, dealing with relationships, it's there. But suffering is there too. And you remember when Adam and Eve had succumbed to the temptation of the forbidden fruit. What do we see next? Well, we see the consequences of sin. We see suffering. You're going to suffer in your childbearing. Adam, you're going to struggle tilling the ground. It was pretty much a free meal before that time. But now you're going to really suffer and you're going to struggle. And the thing that, even though it's hard, you know, to wrap my mind around suffering, a lot of times, especially why do godly people, you know, suffer? We hear that question a lot. I go back to Genesis and I'm mindful of, and Melanie, I thought, made a good point earlier, was the fact that the source of suffering, the source of all of our suffering, please don't forget this. It's not God. It's Satan. It's sin. Sin is Satan is the root of our suffering, of our pain. So, hi, Sharon. I'm now looking at you. So, but anyway, yep. Great lesson, Mike.
All right. Thank you. What we'll do, let's do a real quick plus delta, and we're not going to read these. But in the chat, because I think Jeff said he could get these chats saved for us, just in the chat, 30 seconds, something you liked. If you did like something, went well. And then immediately after this, we're going to do something like, hey, you know, what didn't you like? What could we? And Art, you're not allowed to put. You didn't like we weren't all together in the same room. Because I know you wish. You could put it. Okay. First thing there, about 10 more seconds. Anything, I forget where we're at. I think it was anything you liked. About the... about the lesson, about the format, about the volume, about I don't like using the raise hand. Okay, and then next is anything you didn't like. About 30 seconds, and then we are out of here. All right, Jeff, you get to close us up. You know what we need to do? We need to close with a word of prayer. So, Jeff Walton, would you mind closing us with a word of prayer?
Not at all. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that we could gather virtually this evening and share this time of fellowship and encouragement together. Thank you for Mike and the preparation he made for the lesson and the lesson itself. Help us to take something that's said tonight and be able to bring it into our hearts and into our lives and be able to reach out and encourage each other, encourage ourselves. Make us more faithful in our walk with you. Keep us strong in your word. Keep us always talking to you. Thank you for your son, gave his life for us. Thank you for your spirit who helps us day by day. These things we ask through your son. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good evening.
Bye, everybody.
Night.
Bye. Night.
Yeah.
Hey, Kelly, I like that wall that Mike's sitting in front of.
He's muted.
Kelly.
She's muted.
She's muted.
Keith, we can still sing a song together.
It's not gonna
yes, be. We can.
It's going to be not very synchronized.
Yeah, we tried that at one of our ladies' Zooms trying to sing.
It doesn't work.
Our chorus tried that. It doesn't work very well.
Even when we're together, it doesn't always work.
Thank you, Keith.